Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Canada's Across the World podcast. This is episode 94, and we have an absolute treat this week, folks. We're joined by Dr. Keith Bia, or Bia. I have a habit of messing up names, but you're very welcome. Thanks so much for being on the podcast this week.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean. Yeah, it's my pleasure. And it's here in Hollywood and Colorado, my home. Weather's great, so fantastic morning for an interview.
Perfect. So I just had to have you on the podcast. There's no way two ways about it. You've got a PhD in brewing science and fermentation biochemistry. You're the founder of Blue Moon and the co-founder of the new Seria brewing.
Rhymes with area.
Perfect. So if you could just tell me a wee bit about your background and your journey on the craft beer.
You bet. Yeah. Originally, I had planned on becoming a pediatrician and being a doctor for kids. And somehow along my journey, I found out that I could go to graduate school to become a beer doctor instead of a people doctor. And so I ended up going that direction. And it turns out that it really made me happy to do research and delve into creating new types of beers and kind of pushing the envelope of what beer can be. And I've had immense joy from it.
Cool. Yeah, I think back of my own personal journey. I think Blue Moon might have been one of the first beers I had. Like, I thought it was so strange, you know, going into a bar and the barman pulled the pint and put a slice of orange on it. I was like, this is kind of like a cocktail. so it like kind of bridged the gap between beer and cocktail. And of course, when you sit down, you get that explosion of like citrusy flavor and orange and like just the orange peel, like putting it inside the glass. Did you think one day, like when you were brewing the Blue Moon, did you think it would be enjoyed by some guy in a country town in Ireland somewhere? Like,
to be honest, I never thought beyond my wildest dreams that it could get as big as it got. It grew from nothing when I launched it in 1995 to becoming the biggest craft beer brand in the world. And so it really, really took off. And I think you're right. It really is a beer that kind of bridges the gap between your regular beers and cocktails, because I created that orange garnish as a result of traveling around the country in the United States trying to get people to drink the beer, because in 1995, craft beer was nothing like it is today. People who were trying craft beers were doing so thinking that craft beer was nothing more than an amber ale. Like regular beer, maybe just a little bit darker, a little more flavor. And when they saw Blue Moon, that was cloudy. It was just very different. And then they heard it was brewed with orange peel and coriander. It was almost too much for the typical beer drinker. And so it was very difficult to get people to even try it. So I traveled the country a lot, sampling the beer, getting people to try it. And I found out that once they tried it, they went from being afraid of it to falling in love with it and recommending it to their friends. And along that journey, I saw that many bartenders and pub keepers were garnishing it with a slice of lemon. And I said, you know, that's not appropriate, because the beer is brewed with orange peel, not lemon peel. And so at the beginning, very, very few bars, pubs in America had oranges in the back bar. They had lemons, olives, limes, but no oranges. And so I had to, literally every city we would launch, I would get bags or boxes of oranges and take them to the bars and show them how to slice the orange and how to garnish the glass with the appropriate garnish that looked like a wheel. And we put it on the glass. And I said, you know, this is the way I want you to do it. And then present it to the customer. And a lot of barkeepers and bartenders thought it was more or less a joke, that it wouldn't work. And so they said, yeah, we will try it. And they tried it and they found out that people really loved the orange garnish and the whole almost cocktail type of experience, yet with beer. And it just kept growing and growing. Although at first it was very difficult, from when I launched in 95 to about 2001, it was an uphill battle, very, very difficult. But from 2001 onwards, that's when it became easy, or I should say easier.
Yeah.
and it really started growing to the point where we couldn't make enough to meet the demand. We were brewing all the time. And along the way, up to this day, I've heard from fellow craft brewers that they tasted Blue Moon. They thanked me and they said that is what inspired them to get into craft beer and to become a craft brewer. So really, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's so incredible. Especially, you had a question on Jeopardy about Blue Moon as well. So that's like, I thought that was so awesome. Like, it's just immortalized.
Well, for those of your fans that are familiar with Jeopardy, it's just one of those game shows that here in the States, the popular phrase is that if you've been on Jeopardy, then you've done everything there is to do in life. and so, from my perspective, I wasn't personally on Jeopardy, but the question about me was, and just to frame it up for your listeners, the category, I believe, was called What Ails You? And there were, I think, five questions, and you start at the top, and that's worth $100. And then, that is, if you can. And the very last question is the $1,000 question. And the very last one said something to the effect of, this beer with a lunar name is garnished with an orange slice, was created by Keith V. And of course, the correct answer is, what is Blue Moon? And and it's funny because here in the States, Jeopardy typically plays during the daytime, typically maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when people should normally be working. And of course, I got calls from a lot of my friends saying, oh, you were just on Jeopardy. And I said, shouldn't you be working? But yeah, sure enough, the question was on Jeopardy. And I believe it was a lady who answered everything. She's like the beer drinker's version of a wife. She started at the top, and she answered everything all the way down to the bottom. She said, what is Blue Moon? And she just cleared that whole column of ails you. So she's, I sometimes joke to my friends that she's my future ex-wife. it was a lot of fun.
That's incredible. That's such a legacy as well. I absolutely love that. But on to Seria then, that sounds incredible as well. It's like a THC CBD infused non-alcoholic beer. Could you tell us a wee bit about that and what inspired you to go solo, so to speak, from...
I think the big thing was that with Blue Moon, it started with nothing and it grew to become huge. It was very successful, but at one point, I was traveling around the world, launching it in different countries and visiting the markets in Australia, South America, Europe, Asia. And then when I would get home, so in other words, I was living out of a suitcase internationally. I would get home and then I would get calls from American cities saying, can you please come to Atlanta, New York, San Francisco, Las Vegas, to talk to our retailers, to do a beer dinner, and so I was constantly on the road.
Yeah.
And that, I guess that's one of the drawbacks of creating something very successful, because it is, in a way, it's fun. I think for some of your listeners who are young and have energy, but for me, living that life for several years got to be very difficult. And so I thought, you know, it's time to retire. And so I retired, and my wife and I decided we'd start fresh with something new. And we wanted to stay in the beer world because beer is really a beverage that's social. It brings people together. And we just thought it was just, we knew everything about beer and we loved it. And so we looked out into the horizon and we saw that cannabis was becoming legal in the United States. And in particular, Colorado legalized it recreationally in the year 2012. So I retired at the end of 2017. And my wife and I said, you know what, maybe we should bring cannabis to the masses in a socially acceptable format. Because typically when people think about cannabis, they think about smoking it, whether it's vaping or smoking a joint or a bowl or even dabbing. But we said, you know, smoking is becoming more and more socially unacceptable. Let's figure out how to bring it to the masses in a way that's socially acceptable. And what better format than beer? And so we immediately started looking at that that concept of creating a beer with cannabis. And the first thing we found out was that in the US, and I imagine everywhere, you cannot combine alcohol with cannabis. You just can't. Here in the States, it's illegal. So what that means is you have to create non-alcoholic beers. And if you present a non-alcoholic beer to a consumer, it's got to taste good. It's got to taste like beer. Otherwise,
yeah.
And so I reached back into my PhD studies, because as you probably know, I was in Belgium at the University of Brussels, almost 4 years working on my PhD in brewing. And in fact, that's partly where we got the name Ceria. It derives from the campus where I studied for my PhD. It's a French acronym that stands for the Center for Teaching and Research in the Food Industries.
And,
it also comes from the Roman goddess of agriculture, Ceres. She's the one who they look to for great crops, including cannabis. So back then they taught me how to make non-alcoholic beers. And so I reached back into my memory banks and figured out, you know, I can make good tasting, high quality, non-alcoholic beers. So I got to work creating recipes, and I created one that's a non-alcoholic version of Blue Moon. Well, it's kind of like Blue Moon. It's brewed with orange peel, coriander, oats, wheat, malt, and it tastes like beer, but it has zero alcohol. And then I created an IPA that's a West Coast IPA. So I did that. And then the next difficulty was how to put cannabis into beer. Basically, if you extract it, it's an oily substance. So you try to put it in beer, it'll float to the top and it won't go in. And so we had to figure out how to make it water soluble to put it into the beer. And then the last thing was how to brand it and put it in a package to sell it to customers. So we did that. We hired a branding company and we were able to create a brand, the Ceria brand, and get it trademarked, and which is a whole different journey, because you can't trademark cannabis or anything illegal. So we had to really focus on creating a non-alcoholic, non-infused Ceria brand and getting that trademarked. And then that's how we were able to protect our trademark. And so we got the brand, we got the non-alcoholic beer, and then we got the cannabis all together and put it in the market in 2018. And the first thing we figured out quickly was what dosage should we put in? Because if you put too little, there's no effect. If you put too much, you don't want your customers to get couch locked and sit on their couch all day. And so we figured 5 milligrams would be a really good level for one of our beers, the Belgian White, because it simulates roughly the feeling you get from drinking a 5% ABV beer. And then with the IPA, we decided to put that in at 10 milligrams of THC because that gives you much more of a buzz than five. Five, you're just relaxed. You're really not buzzed or stoned. It just feels, you feel very relaxed and happy.
Yes. With,
you definitely get a buzz. And we thought, okay, let's make sure it's a real mellow buzz. And so I put in 10 milligrams of CBD in addition to the THC to really mellow out that high that you get. And so so those are the products we put into the marketplace. And we heard back right away that people loved the beer and the format, because people could take a 6-pack or a 4-pack to a party and drink and have fun with it, versus taking some joints or some chocolates or gummies and handing them out to people. And they could socialize with our beer. And that's exactly what we wanted. So at this point in time, we were slowed. I don't want to lie about COVID. It did slow us down. It slowed everybody down.
Yeah.
Now that things are starting to open up again, we're seeing a lot of growth and a lot of people starting to experiment and drink our beer. And also we're seeing other companies get into this and realize that you can create beers. For us, it's welcome competition to help grow the category. But at the same time, we feel that we're way in front of everybody. And we feel good about where we are and about just the category in general, because we love alcohol, we love cannabis, we love beer.
Yeah.
We love socializing. So yeah, for us, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it must be so much fun as well. Just when you were talking about the measurements, like, That intrigues me so much. Like, did you ever have a, like, when you were brewing this, like, did you ever put too much in and think, whoa, that's far too much? Is there a lot of like trial and error in your brewing process?
Yes. But with alcohol, I mean, you know, you've probably had some very strong alcoholic beers, and you know, you can drink it, and at the end you go to stand up and you have to sit down, and then you have
yeah.
to try standing up again. With cannabis, it's different because it affects you in so many ways. It doesn't just make you dizzy and high. If you drink too much, have too much, it sometimes will make you want to lay down. And so you lay down, and then you don't want to get up. You just lay there. And so that's the effect of having too much. But I guess on the positive side, I've never read anything about anybody, you know, actually dying from consuming too much cannabis. Whereas alcohol, if people have way too much alcohol, they potentially could die, which is very scary and very real.
Yeah.
So with cannabis, you have too much, you might feel sick, but you will recover and you'll be stronger. it is safer for us. So for us, obviously we can't say that on the packaging that it's safe, you know, try this cannabis beer, it's safe. But people, I think, know that inherently cannabis is plant derived. You consume some and it'll help you relax. It'll help you relieve pain or nausea or whatever. And it's just an interesting, maybe a better way, I might say, to drink, relax, and socialize.
Yeah, it's incredible. I remember watching a video just when I was having a look at things, but you had said you want people to be able to cheers each other at a wedding. Because you can't cheers with a gummy bear.
Exactly.
I thought that was...
Yes. If you go to a friend's wedding, I think everybody in Western civilization, maybe even Eastern civilization, everybody, you know, they use liquids to celebrate and socialize. And if you go to your friend's wedding, you know, and you're the best man, you offer up a toast to the happy couple, and you can't toast with a gummy. You can't to them. You pick up a glass of liquid, whether it's champagne or a great beer, but you know, you say to the happy couple and cheers. And so for us, that's really important to be able to socialize with a beverage and you know, to drink responsibly, because there are some people obviously who want to get stoned, and they will if they drink several of our products. But for us, we want people to use them responsibly, because it's like alcohol. You know, there's always going to be those people who overdo it, but the majority will be responsible, and they'll drink slowly, or they'll pace themselves. And that's why for us, non-alcoholic beer is a good way to pace yourself, because you can do that with alcohol. You can also pace yourself with our cannabis beverages. You know, you might have one THC beverage, and the next one would be just one of our non-alcoholic beers with no infusion. And that way you can pace yourself during the night so that you stay somewhat coherent, somewhat responsible. Because let's face it, you know, nobody likes talking to that guy it's fun the next morning to talk about that guy, but at the time it's sometimes uncomfortable and sometimes awkward to interact with that guy who's had way too much. You just want to lead him to a chair to sit down and maybe think about things for a while.
For sure. That's something I've found with getting into craft beer. Like I'm more sitting enjoying the beer. Like I'll sip in a beer for like half an hour to 45 minutes and really enjoy it, as opposed to big brand lagers, which you'll just drink really quickly. So yeah, it's really cool that there's something out there like Syria that you can actually sit and enjoy, and as you say, pace yourself. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it is about the flavor, because as you just alluded to, a really good beer is generally complex and flavorful. It's almost like a good meal where you enjoy the meal. You know, you're tasting it, and it's just an experience, a flavor journey. And with a beer, there's really not much difference because you really experience everything from the sweetness, the bitterness, the harshness from the alcohol, the hops, the floral characters or the herbal characters, and they all come together in a really nice melange on the palate that really is satisfying, and you enjoy it. But at the same time, you can do it by yourself or with friends and talk about, you know, what do you enjoy about this beer? And then when there's cannabis in it, it brings it to a different level, because then you can taste a hint of cannabis in our beers, but our beers are more about the effects of cannabis and the flavor of great craft beer.
Perfect. You do a lot of home brewing as well. So I've read that you've got like an award-winning solar panel at home to power your brewery. That's incredible. Love hearing about sustainability and things like that. Could you tell me a wee bit about that?
You bet. Yeah. In Colorado, we're very blessed that we have many, many days of sunshine every year. I think a lot of people mistakenly believe that Colorado is filled with snow most of the year. Weather is just dreadful. But in fact, I believe Colorado has more sunny days than most other cities in the United States. And so it really is a perfect place for solar panels. And so when we built our pilot brewery on our property, it's roughly a 2-hectoliter system. So it's a little bit bigger than the typical home brewer pot. It requires some energy to get it going. And it is gas heated, but a lot of electricity for cooling and the controls. And we even have a big walk-in cooler to store kegs. And so since it does require a lot of electricity, we thought, you know, what better way to power this thing than by the sun, which is free and sustainable. So we installed 66 solar panels, and I believe we get about 25 to 30 kilowatts from those panels. So it's enough to power the pilot brewery and our house too. And so we do that, and it keeps things going. It's sustainable. It's just really, it feels good to not pull power from the grid or from coal burning plants or anything like that. Because when you use it from the sun, it's electricity, it's clean. And if you can use it to brew beer, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds so cool. I can't wait. Well, I was going to say, I can't wait till more people here use it, but we get like one day a year of sun in Ireland. So it would probably be rain power, if anything.
Well, yeah, in Colorado, it's very sunny. And I guess one unfortunate part of all that is that Colorado does have one of the highest cases of skin cancer in the world. So it really is essential that people who come to Colorado use sunblock wear appropriate clothing to protect them from the sun. Or if you're born in Colorado, you typically have dark skin like me, so that you can get the sun and not readily get skin cancer right away. Although you do have to protect yourself because it is very bright. And but again, on the very positive side, it is a sustainable way of powering your house, your brewery, your car. It's very clean.
Perfect. Well, there's a question that I ask every brewer that I ever talk to, and it's about your brewing process. Like, is there any quirky traditions or anything that has to happen, or otherwise you can't brew? Like, I know of brewers who eat a particular meal. There's a brewery in the States, like, that'll eat mac and cheese, like, before any brew. There's brewers who listen to ABBA through the brewing process. Do you have anything like that?
I would say maybe, let's see. I guess the thing that's always constant is, when I lived in Belgium, my wife and I, we were there as we would travel to the little breweries in Belgium. And this was in the late 80s, early 90s. The one thing we noticed was, not that the Belgians ever danced in their brew houses, but we noticed that they always had a small statue of Saint Arnold, who is the patron saint of brewers in Belgium. And although other countries have St. Augustine, but in Belgium, it's St. Arnold. And so we did buy a statue of St. Arnold, and he is in our pilot brewery. So that's the one thing we always make sure is that St. Arnold is looking over the brews so that everything tastes good. Because I think everything we've brewed there, we've had a lot of success. And I don't care if it's our wine beer hybrid, which is brewed with Chardonnay grapes and smells and tastes like sparkling white wine, which people love. Or we make a Vienna style lager that tastes almost exactly like the Vienna lagers you get in Vienna. We've had success brewing so many different beers that really taste good. And I do think it probably is a big reason is not because we dance, not because we eat mac and cheese. It's because of our statue of Saint Arnold, who he's in this position where he's holding his staff in one hand and his other hand he's doing something, and maybe it's blessing our brew house so that we have great beer all the time. And so that's I guess the one thing that's always a constant is that Saint Arnold is always dusted off and cleaned and watching over our brewery.
Brilliant. Long may I continue. Well, yeah. Thanks very much for appearing on this week's episode of Cans Across the World. Absolute pleasure. It's been a great, great conversation.
Mention one last thing, Sean, is that I just finished writing a book for the Brewers Association in Colorado. It's called Brewing with Cannabis. So it's not really a strange title. It's pretty straightforward because there has been so much demand for knowledge about cannabis and about how to brew with it. And so the Brewers Association asked me to write a book. And so I said, okay. So about a year ago, I started writing and it's finally done. It'll be available this August of 2021. And it really goes into all the details of the history of cannabis, why it's illegal, et cetera, how to grow a plant at home, you know, the different phases and how to fertilize it and everything, how to harvest the cannabis, how to dry it and cure it so that you can smoke it or you can use it for brewing. And then when you brew with it, how to extract it and use it in your brews, whether it's beer or water or sparkling seltzers, you can extract it and use it in those. And so the beer will be, or the book will be ready August 1st of this year. And it'll be available online. And if you go to Amazon and just type in how to brew with cannabis, the cover will pop up so you can see what the cover looks like. But for those of your listeners who want to learn more about the cannabis plant and who may even want to grow it, legally, of course, yeah, they will find everything they need to know about how to grow it, how to extract it, and how to use it in brews. It'll be a piece of information I think every home brewer really should have, because here in the States, where it is legal to consume it, a lot of people are allowed to grow up to 6 plants. Some states allow only 4 plants per person, but really with 1 plant, you can get a lot of cannabis off of it. So it really is a fun hobby to combine with brewing. So you've got cannabis growing, home brewing. Gosh, what more can you offer your friends?
Yeah, that's incredible. I'll have all the links and everything on cansacrosstheworld.com as well, just about the book and where people can order it and stuff like that. Unfortunately, it's still highly illegal in this country. We're so far behind.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
That's it. That's it. don't look in my attic.
Gosh, well, Sean, if ever you come here to the States, please look us up, because we would love to give you some cannabis beer, you know, so you could taste it and drink it and feel the effects. Of course, we would make sure you get a taxi back to your hotel, because you probably would be unable to drive. But but we do, you know, if ever you come here, please look us up. We'd love to share some of our beers with you.
Absolutely. I'll take you up on that offer. See, I'll never leave. I'll never go home.
Well, it's funny because it's the luck of the green. Here, people say the luck of the green, and they always refer to Ireland because, you know, it's the luck of Irish, the luck of the green, all this, everything about green. And for us, we've made money off the green, not off Ireland, but off cannabis. It's green. And so it's nice. It's a fun area to be in, and it's in its infancy. So if any of your listeners ever, you know, want to learn more about cannabis, pick up that book, start reading about cannabis. And if you have to come to the States where it's legal, do your thing. And then once it's legal back in Ireland, get back there and start the industry up and grow. And who knows, you could become the next Steve Jobs of cannabis.
Well, that'd be incredible. I'm hoping the things change here soon, but until then we'll just have to read about it and travel to America and try it out there. But
great,
Dr. Keith Bia, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm always terrible at ends.
I never do. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. I hope your listeners learned a little bit today about what we're doing here in the States. And any of them, if they come to the States, you know, be sure to grab a can of our cannabis beer and drink it responsibly, but at least try it, because it is something I think everybody who's into craft beer should at least try a cannabis beer, because it's a whole different feeling than alcohol. It can relax you. It can take away pain. and there's even, there's so many things about cannabis that, people still don't know, because there are more than 100 cannabinoids in the plant. Everybody knows THC gets you high, CBD helps relieve pain, but there are things like THCV that decrease your appetite and increase your energy, so you can really lose weight if you want to lose weight. There's others that give you the munchies if you need to gain weight. There's some that act like Viagra. There's some that, I mean, there's just crazy things out there that these cannabinoids do. So we've just touched the tip of the iceberg. In the future, there's going to be so many cannabinoids that are dedicated to allowing people to experience whatever they want to experience. And hopefully some of your nice Irish friends and fans will get here, learn about it, go back and create some cool new things to advance humanity.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a finer note to end on. That was perfect.
Great.
Thanks again.
Well, cheers, Sean.
Enjoy the rest of your time in Hollywood.
Oh, thank you very much.
Safe journeys back home.
Okay, thanks. And if ever you want to reach out for anything more, please do, and be glad to jump on the phone again or a Zoom meeting or whatever.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Have a great weekend.